Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authorist Terry E. Lyle. So stand by, we're going to play a little song, we'll be right back. Tonight, we're going to have a special guest on, and this month is going to be put aside to be discussing domestic violence and abuse. So this is a good topic for people that if you know someone who's in a situation, or if you're personally going through it or been through it, maybe you need to listen in, you know, because we try to here on Unmasked, you know, relate to our listening audience. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west and all the people listening in 28 countries globally. I thank you for tuning in each and every Friday. But before I bring my guest on, I want to say a little bit about her. She is a notary public, a certified life coach at Walking in Purpose, and she's a founder at Aspiring Authors Magazine, LLC. She's a CEO at The Lady with a Vision, Queen of Collaborations. Angela Thomas Smith is also founder of the AAALAC, African American Author Literacy Awareness Campaign, and studied business management at Everest University, South Orlando. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. But before I bring her on, I just want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. Welcome to September.
Yes, yes, yes. How you doing, darling? And let's say hello to our special guest. Hey, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, darling. You're just amazing. You're phenomenal, man. I can't even list all the credits you got behind your name. So, girl, I need a vision board or something. Look at all this. But,
I wear a lot of hats, but I hadn't always been able to wear all these hats, I say.
Amen. You know, but I know that you've been a victim of domestic violence. When did that happen? And out of that, did that start you moving out and becoming part of all this stuff because of that? Because sometimes good things come out of bad environments if you keep pressing forward.
Well, I am truly a example of the word resilient because I refuse to give up. I refuse to deal with the cards that I can't settle with what I've been dealt. I chose to take the other end of the what ifs. I couldn't question what had happened in my life. I just chose to try to educate, empower, and encourage other people to not go down the road that I've been down. So I am a survivor of domestic violence. For those that do not know who I am, Angela Thomas Smith, I am the founder of AALAC, the African American Author and Literacy Awareness Campaign. It was an organization I started to bring awareness to brown authors all over the world when I became an author. On this journey, I've learned that pain can sometimes push you into your purpose. Never thought I would become an author, but definitely through experience and life lessons learned, I'm able to share through books and becoming an author and being able to start AALAC and going on to birth Aspiring Authors Magazine. But before that, I hadn't always been able to share my story because I am a survivor. I am a 6-year survivor of being shot point blank range with a shotgun. I survived to tell my story. I think this may be the third time that I've actually shared my story publicly. I've never even shared my story in any of my books in detail. So this is going to be the third time that I've actually shared this testimony. I thank God. It is definitely, I know, God's grace and mercy that I'm here today, and prayer warriors that I'm here today. But May 7th, 2014, I was shot point blank range with a shotgun. I remember that day going, and I was preparing for my summer program because we was getting ready. School was getting ready to start getting out, so I was getting my summer program prepared because I do a food service program and then I do a program with the kids. So I was getting my program kind of situated. I had been out all day trying to visit sites and talk to site managers and different things. And I had been out all day. And I went, I got home, and my car was messed up, so I had to use my niece's car. So I remember that day. I took my niece, her car, and she brought me home. And she say, Auntie, she say, you going to need my car tomorrow? Are you good? And I told her, I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to need it tomorrow. I said, but I'll call you. I said, my car may be ready, and I may need you to take me to pick it up. So I remember having a conversation with her. I went on in the house, and at that time, my husband wasn't home. So I went over to my neighbor's house. So I was over to my neighbor's house, and they play cards and stuff. So I was sitting there, and I was playing cards with them, and I sit there, and time started going by. And we was just sitting there laughing and talking and just watching TV and playing cards. And I was just time went by. So next thing I know, it was probably about 1 o'clock.
And, in the morning?
Yeah, 1 a.m. So I was like, oh, let me go. I said, because I can get on my prayer call, because I usually get on a prayer call at 1 a.m. because the lady that does the prayer call, she's out of New Orleans, so it's midnight there. So I said, well, let me go on and jump on the prayer. So I got on the prayer call, and we were in prayer, and the lady that's over the prayer line, we was getting ready to get off. It was almost 2 o'clock, and we was getting ready to get off, and it was like she would not let us get off. It was like she just kept on praying. It's like she just kept on, and she said, before I go, she said, it's just a heaviness. She said, and I just want to pray over the heaviness. She said, I don't know what it is. She said, but it's just a heaviness, and she said, I just want to pray. So she just kept praying. So when I got out the prayer call, I started getting really sleepy because it was 2 a.m. and I had been gone all day. So I laid down, and my husband, he was out on the porch with some of his friends, and I was laying down, and next thing I know, he come on in. It had to have been almost 3 o'clock then. He come on in and was I just pestering me because I had no dozed off by then because I knew I had to be up the next morning. So I had dozed off. And he was pestering me, just going on and on and on. And I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to be bothered. So I was like, okay, I'm about to go back to the neighbor's house because the neighbor was not only my neighbor, she was also my husband's aunt. So I said, I'm going to the neighbor's house. I'm going to go sleep on the neighbor's couch because I don't feel like this tonight. So
can I ask you a question real quick?
I started.
You said he was pestering you. What was he pestering you for? Sex? Or he was just picking at you?
It was just pestering. Like, I was asleep, so anything would have aggravated me. And then I think he may have wanted sex. I don't know. But whatever it was, I wasn't feeling it. I didn't want to do whatever it was. I was sleepy. I was dozing off. I was in and out of sleep. I wasn't myself. Don't wake me up when I'm asleep. Number one, because I'm not a good person to wake up when I'm asleep. So I was already aggravated, and I was like, oh no, I don't feel like this tonight. So I said, let me go. So I was going to the neighbor's house, and then I realized, oh, I'm not dressed. Remember, I was asleep. I'm not dressed. I got on underclothes, and I don't have on clothes. So I started to go back, and then he had made it to the door, and he was, like, trying to stop me, wanting to argue. I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. So I overpowered him, and I got out the door. And I'm like, I can't go to these people's house like this. So there was a I have wicker furniture on my porch. So there was a throw over the wicker furniture. So I grabbed it and I wrapped it around me so I wouldn't go to those people's house looking like that. So I started to run and I tripped, and the next thing I know I heard this boom, and I was like, oh my God. And I looked down and I was stinging and I was feeling my leg and it was just gushing, and I was like, oh my God, I've been shot. And I just started hollering, and the next thing I know, I woke up in the hospital. They said I had been in surgery for 6 hours. And that if I walked, it would be months before.
Wow.
I won't be able to walk.
I'm going to come back with another question, but I'm going to let Chris ask this question. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, Angela, first of all, Angela, I want to say that I'm sorry that that happened to you. And my question, I wrote these questions before the interview started, but it kind of goes with what you just said. My question is, why do people mistake abuse with love? In your opinion, why do you think this happens?
When you don't love yourself, and you don't know who you are, then you can't acquaint the two. Because if you have value for yourself, then you know what love is, and you know that someone putting their hands on you, someone talking to you any kind of one, someone making you feel lesser than a human or lesser than what you think, then you that's not love. But when you don't know that, and when you're in a place, because let me tell you about me. Now, when I'm a high school graduate. I was in college. I went to college. If you had to ask my friends and you had to ask my family members, even now, a lot of my family members, they still in disbelief that I actually went through this. You know, some of them, I actually have to show them my scar before they will actually believe that me, Angela Thomas Smith, went through that. How?
Yeah.
She allowed that? No, not me. You know, the person that you see now, I used to be that person back in the day.
Wow.
I never saw myself going through that. A lot of the things that I went through in my life, I never saw myself going through that because I was the person in, even in middle school and high school, and when I used to see this stuff on TV, I used to be like, oh, no, that's not going to be me. And I ended up being the very person that this happened to. And I often time question myself, how, Angela, how did you allow yourself to get in a place like that? But then I go back, and I mean, here lately I've been thinking about this. How did I allow myself to get in a place where I didn't value myself? I didn't have love for myself. And then
well,
I have to think. How long was I with him?
Yeah.
I mean, we was married. We was married. Wait, this was going on 3 years?
3 years in, and he never gave you no indication that he could go off the deep end to the point that he would shoot you?
Everybody have, and now that I look back, yeah, there were a lot of red flags that I should have known if I had have known. But when you don't know what you're experiencing and you don't have anybody to talk to or anybody to explain what you're going through, then how do you know what you're experiencing? You know, I was experiencing financial abuse way before any of, because I never stopped physical abuse. No, never me. No. I dealt with the mental, the name calling, the financial. Those are the two things that I had been used to dealing with. The putting your hands on me? Nah, not Angela.
Wow.
That's not happening. That's not happening. And I never saw this happening. And then when I say, well, okay, I try to say, well, okay, I understand this could have happened because of this and this could have happened because of this. And no, there is no excuse. I'm not. No, I don't care drug addict. I don't care problems with kids. I don't care what. I don't care what the problem is. There is no excuse.
And you're absolutely
because
correct.
Because just like you dealing with things, I'm dealing with things too. So we both dealing with things. And if we can't come together and deal with them together, then number one, then we don't need to be together. If we can't work through all of that together. And that's something that I didn't know then and I didn't understand then because it had never been taught to me. You know, I didn't grow up in a home where both of my parents was there. You know, I didn't have a lot of the one-on-ones because let me go back and share a little bit about my childhood and about my life. And then maybe you can understand a little bit more about me and my thinking. I lost my mom 12 days after my 16th birthday. My dad was never really in my life, but he was a part of my life. When my mom passed away, I thought my dad was going to really come back and be a part of my life, but that was none and void because my dad had his own issues. At that time, I didn't understand all of the issues until I became an adult, and then now I understand because he was dealing with his own drug issues. He was a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? So he was dealing with that, and he was not in my life. So then you can say, oh, maybe she was looking for love in all the wrong places. No, I'm the type of person, I think if something is not going my way, then I think I can change people. I had a true problem called codependency. That was something that I dealt with for years because if I didn't like what you were doing, then I tried to change you because I wasn't really I went to church. I've been in church all my life, but I didn't have a relationship, so I didn't really understand. So I didn't understand that I had no power, that all of my power came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that the only way was going to be through him.
Okay.
So
well,
me thinking that I could change something, then I would stick with whatever was going on and try to change that person. So into the relationship, I found out there were some drug issues. But me being the person that I am and the pride kicked in because now you're dealing with people in your business, people knowing what's going on in your home. You know what I'm saying? I'll just start playing a part in what's going on.
All right. Well, Angela, we're going to need to take a little small break. I want you to hold that. We're going to be right back in 2 and 2, darling.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! Who is
that? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
What is, why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Hey.
Everyone to authoress Terry Lyon Unmasked Show with Chris. That song was by her. It's called Focus. We're back with our guest, Angela Thomas Smith, and I'm going to let my co-host have his first question.
Okay, Angela. Outside of getting out of an abusive relationship, what is something that you've done to stop an abusive relationship, like for somebody else?
So what I've been doing is I use my platform to bring awareness to various topics and domestic violence, mental illness, suicide awareness, various topics I bring on my platform. So October the 1st, actually, I am going to be hosting an event on my platform to bring awareness to domestic violence. I advocate on various platforms. There are a couple of people that support my platforms that have organizations that focus on domestic violence and sexual assault, human trafficking. I am a certified human trafficking advocate with South Fulton County in South Fulton, Georgia. I was certified back in January. So that is something that I do. I just like bringing awareness. I want people to know that no matter where they are, that somebody's been where you are, somebody is where you are, and somebody has overcame where you are. And wherever you are, there's somebody out here to assist you on this journey, that you don't have to go through this alone, that there are people here. I thank Arthur Terry for this show, for allowing us to come on and share this month. She's dedicated this month for domestic violence awareness and abuse. So I thank her for bringing that to the forefront, because that is a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
I know, because they're embarrassed or feel shame, but, you know, they shouldn't. But you touched on something a second ago. You said that you were an advocate for human trafficking. How did you become a part of that? Because that's something I would like to help out, too, because it's sickening to know how many people are getting snatched, especially in the Atlanta area, you know, in places you don't think so. People are always assuming it's New Mexico or someplace, you know, below the border. They don't think that it's right here in your face in the United States, you know, and these metropolitan areas are big hubs, you know, for people getting snatched, you know, especially if you are
85. Yeah, 85 corridor is one of the biggest hubs. It is. I actually got certified through an organization called Teen Spark, and it's out of Fulton County. They're actually partnered with the Fulton County court system, so they work directly with the court system to help individuals that are involved in human trafficking. They, the young lady that runs this organization, she's amazing. When I tell you she's amazing, she's amazing. If you just sit and listen to her testimony and listen to her training, there's things about human trafficking that I didn't even realize. And people, you know, could be human trafficking and not even realizing what they're doing. But, you know, we need
You're
to bring
right.
awareness to it. We need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. You know, there are a lot of people out here that are looking for, you know, we as society, we have not allowed a lot of things to take place. And kids nowadays, these millennial kids, they want things right now. They don't want to work for things. They want things right now. They think if you put it in the microwave, it's going to pop out.
Yeah.
And that's
give
how they want it.
Money,
so you have these young girls.
Mm-hmm.
You have
the mess.
Mm-hmm. You have these young girls that want to be music stars and actress, and they want these celebrity status. So they get themselves in positions to where, you know, they get themselves caught up. They ended up they end up at these a lot of them use hotels, the ballrooms, and they end up going to these casting calls and end up doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing. And things that get them caught up and get them trapped. And that's what happened. I know it has happened to some family members. Well, some close family friends, they like family to me because when I was in Atlanta, when I lived in Atlanta for over 20 years, these kids were a part of my youth program at the church that I attend. So they were like my nieces and my nephews. So it hurt when I saw it. And I saw it. It came across Facebook. And I saw what had happened out there in Clayton County.
Wow.
So that's how close it hit me. And I said, I have to do something about this. I have to speak up. You know, I can't keep sitting around and sitting down. When you got a voice, you got a platform, you have to use these platforms to bring these things to awareness because this stuff is happening in our brown community and we turning a deaf eye to it. It's been happening. This is not stuff that just started to happen. It's been happening. And because we've been in a place where we don't want people to know what's going on behind closed doors, what happens at home, stay at home. That's what we're going to taught our kids. It's time to stop teaching our kids that. If somebody's doing something to you, you need to speak out.
That's
you
right.
You don't need to be scared. You don't have to go through that.
No, one good thing I did.
And don't let your pride take you either because your pride will get in the way too. So,
you know, one thing
humble.
I saw in a gas station bathroom and I was so impressed. In the female's bathroom, it had different stickers saying, if you think you are a victim of prostitution or trafficking, you know, there's help in numbers, you know. And I thought to myself, that wasn't my case, but, you know, sometime a person will let you go in to use a bathroom. That could be somebody's way of getting help. Just a small thing like that was so important.
But you know, in Georgia, that is required. And all of the restrooms and truck stops and things like that. Now, that's a part of the legislation that they passed Ivana Trump had, she did have a little something to do with that. She actually made a trip to Atlanta, and they worked on some things. But, yeah, that's a part of legislation now. It is a requirement. They're in all of the restaurants. All of the restaurants. If you go in Wendy's and McDonald's and all of them on the back of the stalls in the restrooms, and as you're leaving out the restroom doors, they should be posted where you can see them in all of the restrooms.
They ought to do it in all the states. So we're running out of time here. So, Chris, do you have a question before we let Angela tell people how to get a hold of her?
Oh, yeah, I got my next quote. Well, first of all, I just want to say, who knew that Ivana Trump did anything good? That's my personal opinion. And my second question was, how can we make abuse so unmainstream? I mean, it seems like it happens so frequently that, you know, a lot of true crime shows are about abuse in some form. How can we make that? But we just got to keep talking about it.
I mean, you got to keep talking about it. You got to keep bringing it to the forefront. People got to keep telling their stories. They got to stay in the light. You got to be relevant. You know, you have to make this topic relevant. It has to be something that is constantly talked about. They actually need to start having programs in schools. They need financial literacy in school. They need domestic violence programs in school. You know, my thing is, if we can do an Amber Alert, Why we can't, you know how they have the sexual predators have to register? Why don't the domestic violence predators have to register?
Some of the sex offenders register, why don't domestic violence people register as well?
That's what I said. You know, I've asked some of the legislation in Georgia. You know, that's something that I've been pushing for. You know, I asked to have a sit down with some of the legislation in Georgia. You know, it's something that I talked about it. So I said, just put it out there. Maybe somebody will grab hold to it. I don't care if they take my idea away. I don't care. I just want it done. I don't care. At this point in time, I don't care who do it. I just want it done. I feel like if they can do it for sex predators, then they can do it for domestic violence predators. If they can make sexual predators register, then they can make domestic violence predators register too. Because when you get into these relationships, you don't know if this person has already been in a domestic violence relationship. They've been in one, two, three, four. And most of the time, if they've been in one, they've been in two, they've been in three, they've been in four. It's a repeat cycle. Unless they go and get help, and receive the proper treatment, and most of the time they don't, because the courts do not require them to go to no type of classes. Now I've noticed that they started them to go into anger management. Okay, that's good. But what else are you requiring them to do? What's a requirement? Are you requiring them to take classes before they go back out and allow them to start dating and stuff like that? You got to have some type of stipulations put on people that are constantly breaking the law with domestic violence. You're doing it with DUIs. You're doing it with all these other things. Why is it such a problem? Why we can't do it with domestic violence?
That's a good point. Very good point. And Angela, baby, I appreciate all your input, but I need you to let people know how they can reach you, because you have a lot of different platforms, and I want people to get the full scope of things that you're doing, how to reach you.
I am all over the place.
I know, right?
I'm definitely all over the place. So I'm gonna go slow, but I'm gonna start right here at Blog Talk. I am on Blog Talk Radio. I'm actually on Blog Talk Radio every 4 weeks. I'm a part of In Goes the Time. If they go to the search engine and search In Goes the Time, I am a part of the Damon Network. I have a show called Walking in Purpose with Angela. I'm on every 4 weeks. My show was on, I think, I'll be back on the 23rd. So if you tune in Wednesday night, the 23rd at 9:30 p.m., I will be live. My show is actually broadcast out of Lagos, Nigeria. I also do a show on Sador Radio. You can download the app from Apple Play or Google Play. It's called Sador Radio. I'm on first and third Sunday. Just so happened this Sunday I will be live from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I always have some amazing guests come on and share with me their journey to walking in purpose. And I play some of most amazing gospel music. I just have a hallelujah good time praising the Lord and enjoying my guests, because I tell you, God has truly been good to me. And I just want to share that with everybody. I'm also, today is Friday, so in the morning, 10 a.m., I'll be live on Facebook. I am a part of Release Her Sound News. It is a show that we do live on Facebook through HOD Network. I am a part of that with five other amazing women. And our purpose and our journey with that show is to we want to empower, encourage, and help individuals walk in their purpose spiritually and in the marketplace. So we talk about different things that has helped us in our spiritual life and how we have applied that to the areas that we focus on. I am a purpose strategist. I believe in helping individuals walk in their purpose. So I talk about anything dealing with purpose and networking and books. That's what I do on that particular station. I think that's it. Oh, no, I have a magazine, Aspiring Authors Magazine. I cannot forget about that. That is my baby. That is my heart. Since I couldn't do my live events this year, God allowed me the opportunity to start the magazine, and it gave me an opportunity to stay connected with the authors and share them and keep them relevant and keep them in front of people. Not only that, I touch on topics that's affecting the brown community, not only here in America but across the world. Actually, my editor, she is from Lesotho, Africa. She born, raised, and still resides there. I have writers, contributing writers from all over the place. I have one from London. She's from France in the UK. I have one from the Virgin Islands. I think she's from St. Croix. I have a couple out of Nigeria. And, of course, we have them spread all over the U.S. Have a couple out of Arizona, Florida, South Carolina. I think we have Georgia, Alabama. They're just all over the place. We just want to give a different perspective on the different topics that we touch on. We touch on everything from domestic violence to mental illness, to education, to health care, to black culture. You name it, we're touching on it if it's affecting our community. So this month, the month of September, we are touching on suicide awareness. That is something that's very near and dear to me as well. Of course, I am a suicide awareness attempt survivor, and I also have lost three family members, all three in the month of May in 2017. Devastated my family, so I said, you know what, I have to stand up. I have to do something about this. I have to bring awareness to this, because people are hurting in silence. They're hurting in silence, and they need not to hurt no more. So I had to speak up and do something about that. So I will be doing a show on Sunday, Damon Looks. I am the commissioner for Damon Looks, which is a part of the show that I'm a part of on Wednesday. So I got a lot going on. You have to follow me on Facebook. Check me out. You can visit the website at theaspiringauthorsmagazine.com. That's it. Check me out. I love to network. I love to share. That's me.
Okay, well, Angela, I want to thank you for your energy and your time here. And time has ran out, but you know, we want everyone to know abuse is not love. So tune in all of this month, because we're going to be talking about domestic violence, whether it's emotional, physical, you know, or whatever, you know, it may be. But, you know, emotional abuse is a whole lot worse, because wounds will heal. Emotional scars stay for a long time. So you are welcome to come back anytime, darling, because once you be here, it's like home. And so on that note, we're going to say good night, everybody. See you next week. Good night.
Good night. Happy Labor Day weekend. Goodbye.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, darling.